Hi, my name's Kelly McKenna. I'm a social work student at UNE. I'm doing a master's in social work. I work as a school counsellor in both secondary and primary school settings. The therapies I use every day are strength-based, CBT, expressive therapies, play therapy and emotional release. I do psychoeducation work with regard to emotional regulation and behaviour in class. I wanted to try solution-focused brief therapy from a pure perspective where there's no advice given, the client's the expert and the counsellor's a facilitator of a process rather than directing the process, and the content comes from the client and it's a client's own way of making progress that's used. In this case, Maya Russo, a 16-year-old student in year 12, she's referred to school counselling by the head of year and by her mother. And some of the presenting issues were that there's family conflict between the parents, grief and loss as her brother Nathan has joined the Defence Force and moved away, isolation and withdrawal from family and peers, there's lower grades at school, she feels a lack of support, feels ignored, feeling anxious and sad, and there's some risk-taking behaviour. There's some differences in counselling within schools, and that's because school counsellors are answerable to school administration, so it's difficult to remain completely impartial and independent due to the dual obligations to the school and student. There are conflicts around limits to confidentiality regarding mandatory reporting, and because sometimes it's blurred within the student protection boundaries. For example, a 15-year-old student disclosing underage sex would probably result in a student protection report. School counsellors work to a timetable, so they're matching lesson changeovers. They're often seeing 5 to 6 students per day for 50-minute sessions. There's large caseloads of students, and it means that there's shorter time frames are better suited to schools. And also adolescence is an active stage of a development. The problems are usually short-lived. There are regular changes in mood and interests, priorities and behaviours. And for many secondary students, their counselling needs are immediate and temporary. Therefore, they're not suited to long-term counselling models and they need to be brief and flexible enough to cover a diverse range of needs. Therapies that require in-depth self-exploration or that are drawn out aren't good to use within schools. There's careful assessment and they require referral pathways because there's no space to recover from challenging work due to the expectations that students will go to the next lesson immediately after or not long after the session. Solution-focused brief therapy offers an intervention that fits with the time-limited context of schools and with student expectations. And solution-focused brief therapy fits with client-centred practice framework, which suits the school and social work in schools. I've used some of the learnings from Steve DeShazza, Insoo Kim Berg, Dennis Lines, and the Solution Focus podcast with Alan Parry, which is a UK association of solution-focused practice, and listen to the interviews with Guy Shannon and Dr. Mark McKergow. Solution-focused interventions focus on the solutions and not the problems. So it avoids students feeling stuck and prevents resistance and it helps counsellors not offer advice and expertise. So it rebalances power. It doesn't provide an intervention as such, but the conversation is the intervention. Assumptions that that change is always happening and that some change is always happening in the direction that the person wants. The direction of the work is established by the client and what their best hopes are from the meeting, and it rebalances power in that way. So it looks for the client's way of making changes. And Mark McKergow says that through asking the detailed question, it stretches the world of the client so the client can hear the answers to what they're wanting. During my session, my intention was to maintain a future focus, reframe the problems and problem talk, amplify positive changes and exceptions, listen for solutions led by Maya, and these would be based on her strengths and skills and her resources, and believing that Maya is the expert in her life. The main goal within the session was to check progress, so it wasn't the first session. So by asking questions to get Maya to think and to reflect on the changes she'd made, I found that in the settling stage that Maya looked a bit uncomfortable and my questions were a bit clumsy. My intention here was to convey to Maya that while she was sent to counselling by her head of year and by mum, it's her space to talk about herself. And Maya spoke. She did speak about not crying as much, choosing not to avoid by hiding in the toilets. She spoke about missing her brother and her ability to make new friends. And I restated those sad feelings about missing her brother and acknowledged her anxiety. And this was done to create inclusive thinking, letting Maya know that she was heard. Also, in discussing her abilities to cope, Maya was able to reflect and to think about possibility. So asking, how did you do that, regard making a new friend, which is hard to do. It was done to empower Maya, and it assumes that she has a part to play in the change. It encourages her to take her share of the credit and looking at what she values as a friend. And it also helps her to think about, even though she's upset and missing her brother, she's okay. On one hand, I think asking the question about her old friends was an error, because I think it invited the problem back into the session, and solution focus looks for exceptions to the problem and is future so focused. But I think it did assist Maya to reflect on what she wants moving forward, which she said was new friends. So asking questions about how it felt when she was friends of the group might have helped her reflect on the group when they weren't in conflict. So why was she part of the group in the first place? And she said, you know, she didn't feel scared about bullying then. She felt accepted and she was really liked by them. And we discussed what having a new friend meant to her, and noticing the changes since she's had the new friend. And she said one of them that she wanted to come to school. By establishing what Maya wants and what future she wants to create, Maya talked about doing the right thing. And through what she said, we heard in many ways that she wants for herself, what she wants for herself aligns with what her parents and teachers want. But in discussing what doing the right thing means, I think I put words into Maya's mouth, so getting people off your back. So it might have been helpful, though, in moving her from that stuck feeling. And Maya said then at that time that she could just be herself and not feel judged, and that she might look like having her life back on track and feeling happier. By linking the miracle question from the first session, I was looking to re-establish Maya's best hopes and to get her to build up a picture of the changes that she wants to see in her life. I feel that this was a bit clumsy, you know, especially when I said, can you remember what you said to me? So perhaps restating this question to, do you remember what you said? The intention here was to establish Maya's preferred future. And Maya said she would feel happier, have more energy, talk to people, and connect and feel more like herself. But to connect with the preferred future and to associate differences to her current life and the life that she wants not too far away. So by talking about what happens tomorrow, we invite her to think that it's just around the corner. Guy Shannon from the Solution Focus podcast says that the miracle question or tomorrow question is like time hopping to a place where what the client wants is happening already. Here I was looking for details about what Maya wants and asking her to notice the tiny differences and to see that this is achievable. So asking what it means to Maya, asking her to reflect on her preferred future and invite possibles rather than asking what she would need to do to get there. So that invites stuck thinking with clients. At around halfway, I asked Maya to a scaling question, and this was done to establish where she is and to discuss forward direction. The scaling is progress and future focused, where a 10 is a summary of what the client wants and a 0 furthest away from what they want. Asking questions about where Maya is on the scale, Maya indicated a 3, and the focus was that she was no longer a 4, no longer a 0, because she said when she initially came in she was a 0. So we were looking at all the things that she had done to get her to a 3 and what she could do to maintain a 3, and we compared that with a 0. And so the 3 meant that some progress had been happening to move her towards where she wants to be. During the section where we discussed being a 3 on the scale, Maya said that she wouldn't be online dating sites. And this would have been an opportunity to reflect on what she could have done instead, or what else she could do if she felt lonely. I think I skipped past, I missed this and skipped past it because I was fearful of discussing a problem and giving advice, which resulted in a missed opportunity to invite other possibilities. I wanted to find a way to help Maya think of concrete times, places, or instances where things were different. And to get her to notice that she already has the skills to be at that place. In hindsight, I probably wouldn't have asked the question where things were going well, where were you on the scale, because I didn't expect the answer to be an almost 10, which seems very far away from 3. I thought maybe she would say a 7, which is not that far away from where she is, and then I could expand on that. A lot of deepening questions are used within solution-focused therapy, and it's looking at exceptions to the problem, so when the problem should have happened but it didn't, when the problem was less, so focusing on possibilities, noticing when things are different, and noticing instances where what they want is happening. In the Solution Focus podcast, Guy Shannon discusses noticing helps people realize that the changes they make don't just influence their own world but affect others. So getting other people's perspectives encourages different possibilities and focuses on small shifts and getting back on track. So I think asking Maya to notice things about herself was important for her, so that she could see that she wasn't alone, even though her brother's gone and her parents aren't getting along. And inviting her to talk about who notices and how she would know that they noticed, asking what they might see different about her. I observed that I used the word noticed a few too many times, and it seemed like when I said, you know, like it seems like you've noticed that others are noticing. So I think the questions about noticing were to invite Maya to help her discuss where she's on the scale and to describe any small changes happening. What she would see and what others would see if she was where she wanted to be on the scale. And Maya said that she'd noticed that they were all happier and that they'd have fun as a family, and she'd feel more connected, and she was more hopeful of being her old self. I think acknowledgement of how tough it's been, I think it leads to reflection and possibility. And I used compliments. I said I was impressed with her progress, and I could see how difficult it was, but that she'd worked hard and that she has the skills. And I'd noticed how invested she was to moving towards the future that she wanted. So in closing, Maya was invited to talk about what she noticed and any learning about herself, what she heard herself say. And Maya said that she'd it seemed that she'd solved some of the issues that her mum and the school wanted resolved, because she said that she would need to change to get what she wants. She'd need to go to classes, do homework, not go out late, not spend time online. And she felt she was rebelling and acting like a brat. I think at this stage I affirmed that what Maya was saying, and I probably shouldn't have agreed with her statement that she had been acting like a brat. I need to be mindful not always to use minimal responses, yes, and to listen to what the client's saying. I think the session directed Maya to talk about how she found her own solutions to sadness and loneliness and reconnected. And thinking about using the distraction of sport and connecting to a team, I think that's great for moving forward. She had a willingness to make new friends at school and to engage more with her mum and dad at home, and she acknowledged her skills and strengths and her ability to make friends. So in ending the session, I asked Maya to notice the small changes and bring them to the next session. I think I again overused the concept of noticing. I offered Maya a twist to return. Overall, I think I had a good tone. My questions were honed to the solution perspective, which was future-focused. I think Maya was able to tap into her skills and her way of coping, of creating change through finding what works for her and doing more of it. I think in school settings, most counsellors take an eclectic approach, as no one approach can resolve every situation or fit every person. I could have chosen strengths, CBT, but I decided to try an intervention that I hadn't done before to ensure that it was new learning for me in this unit. Thank you.